Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Stephen Halperin, who is a phenomenal New Age musician and has received a Grammy nomination for Best New Age Album. And today we're going to be talking about how he evolved into being a leader in this field, one of the first to really understand how music can change brainwave states. And Stephen has been absolutely a pioneer in this. And this is why at Millennium Healthcare, we use his music exclusively for the healing work that we do here. We feel that it puts people in the right brainwave state for healing. Welcome, Stephen. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's a delight to be here.
Well, we met each other a few years ago when you stayed overnight at my house, and I have been fascinated with your music, especially ever since meeting you. Would you like to give the audience a little bit of history about how you were able to understand how music can affect spiritual development?
Absolutely.
And can affect healing so profoundly.
Absolutely. And I will acknowledge that I was introduced to you by my friend, Dr. Louis Leonardi.
And that's right.
I met Louis at a sound and healing conference in 1980, sponsored by the Sufi organization. And part of the reason I was there was that I was the first musician really working with this field. Even as a kid, I was always fascinated by the stories of ancient Greece and ancient Egypt, the stories that Edgar Cayce would write about the healing temples using mm-hmm. sound and light and other aspects, other arts. So I knew that I wanted to know more about that, but there wasn't very much written in the 1960s about the healing powers of music. And I simultaneously was developing as a jazz musician, and at a certain point, the study of scales and chords and improvisation, playing with some really high-energy musicians, catapulted me into a state. We weren't measuring brain waves at that point, but I knew it was an altered state just from the intensity of the music, in which the music flowed through me. I no longer had to be thinking about what I wanted to play. Just mm-hmm. I became an instrument of the instrument. And even though that was a very high energy, strong drums and percussive, energetic kind of music like John Coltrane and Pharoah Sanders, when I had an experience several years later in deep meditation where I started hearing a very different kind of celestial, relaxing, soothing, uplifting music, it came from the same sort of place in which the music came through me. It was not something I consciously thought about or set out to say, today I'm going to invent a new form of healing music.
Right.
It wasn't like that. It's like the music arrived, and I was told in meditation and also told by scientists like Dr. John Lilly and Dr. Stanley Krippner that my job was to conduct some scientific research using brainwave analysis and Curlian photography, energy aura mm-hmm. photography, to prove that there was really something different going on with this music compared to certainly regular traditional classical music, because in 1970, there really wasn't any genre that is now called New Age music.
Right.
What we found and not being a scientist, I was told and introduced to some wonderful scientists who were working with some of the leading-edge scientific equipment to measure the subtle energies. I was the first musician to really interact with the quantum physicists, and I started speaking at holistic health conferences in the mid-70s.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how my work really expanded, not in the music field, but in the holistic health field. What I understood from working with my teachers is something I'm sure that you understand, is that the body is a self-healing organism. It's a self-tuning instrument, as it were. And if we give it the right raw materials, if we give it the right energy, and sound and music is an energy, and the body knows what to do if we give it the appropriate context. And part of the secret is that so much healing comes through a relaxation state in which the body's own self-healing energies are allowed to manifest and are supported. So over the years, I haven't said, I heal with music. I've never said that. And we hardly even say the music is healing, but the music allows healing to take place. That's, shall we say, the politically and medically correct way of saying, but the music gets your body and triggers and eases your body into the state in which music, in which healing most easily takes place. And the relaxation response became popular and well-known to the public when Dr. Herbert Benson came out with his book called Relaxation Response in 1975. Mm-hmm. But I had already done my groundbreaking research and started composing and putting it out to the public. When his book came out, I now had an easier handle to talk about why and how the music was affecting people. And then when I was introduced to the work of Dr. Hans Jenny and Cymatics in 1977, I was the first American musician to be introduced to that whole field of inquiry and research, and I wrote my first book to introduce Cymatics and a new form of music therapy of sound healing to America in 1977. So that's how I got into it, and since then it's just been a continual unfolding and spiraling upward as we get better and better at doing what we do.
Now, you talk about deep theta and deep alpha. Would you like to go through the various brainwave states and what we achieve in each of those states in case the listeners don't understand the differences?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. And indeed, being in this field, you and I possibly sometimes forget, I know I certainly have, and I needed to be reminded that most people never get any training, education in schools or workshops or on TV until recently. So they did not know that our brains operate with electrical impulses. These pulses, these pulsations are categorized into four main names, alpha, beta, theta, and delta, that relate to the frequency, the speed at which the brain waves pulsate. So if your brain, like in right now when we're speaking, our brains are said to be in beta, normal waking consciousness, in which the pulsations are pretty fast, from 13 to 39 cycles per second. When we slow that down, we get in the alpha range, between 8 and 12 cycles per second. Deeper than that is the theta range, from 4 to 7 cycles per second. And there's been less research on that than alpha, but each frequency has different characteristics. And when we slow the brainwaves even further into the delta range, between 1 and 3 cycles per second, most of the research suggests that that's related to sleep. But there needs to be more research in the whole field. But I could certainly tell you that my latest series of recordings began when I wanted to update the work I had done 20 and 30 years ago with brainwave entrainment. In fact, I even demoed an incredible song that I composed live when I was being filmed by the 48 Hours TV show in the studio, blew away the producer, blew away the host, and alas, it was so powerful that it never made it onto the TV show.
No.
But at the time, they said, this is incredible. We could really feel the difference between the healing music and the healing music with the 8 cycle per second alpha brainwave. And one of the reasons the 8 cycle per second alpha frequency is so important is that really synchronizes your brainwaves with the dominant electromagnetic frequency and essentially brainwave of the Earth itself. So I've done a lot of work with alpha, and I began to wonder, could anyone, but certainly could I, feel the difference without expensive biofeedback equipment, if I'm meditating at 7 cycles per second or 6 cycles or 5 or 4, knowing that research had proven that if you present the listener with what we call binaural beats or sonic entrainment, we can virtually guarantee that your brain will be functioning at that particular frequency. Now, the key there is, Susan, is that just to listen to a sound going wah, 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 a mechanical sound or somebody simulating that with their voice like I just did, to me is pretty boring. So I wanted to encode that into beautiful music. And when I started working with these frequencies, I did indeed notice a difference. And I could tell you and share with the audience that one particular frequency, when I got to it, for me was like open sesame. I started hearing music in my head right there in the studio as I was recording, and I spent the rest of the day and many of my sessions since then with the headphones tuned to 4 cycles per second in deep, deep theta. And it's for me, it's been a remarkable, legal, demonstrable, predictable, and repeatable experience, and I strongly recommend others do a little research. Find out for yourself what your key frequency is, what frequency your brain likes to be stroked and resonated with. And that's how I got into these latest recordings, but it comes back from 30 years or more of research and being involved in this field.
Well, one of my friends who's a neurologist wrote a book on a channeler from the Catholic Church that was channeling Mother Mary and Conyers, and he did a series of experiments on her where he was measuring her brain waves during the time she was channeling Mother Mary, and she was in Delta.
Uh-huh.
And that was very interesting to me because, of course, in Delta you should be in a very, very deep sleep, and yet she was channeling, but of course she was probably out of the picture.
Exactly.
The energy coming through her. So really, probably in deep theta as well, you're accessing other planes of existence.
I believe so. I think you're right on with that. Now, I could also tell you, when I worked on my deep delta, actually it's called Sleepscape Delta, that program for sleep, it literally, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, virtually put myself and my recording engineer to sleep. For the first time ever, I had 3 cups of coffee in one day.
Hmm.
And at the end of the session, I thought I was pretty wide awake. When I got in my car and started driving down the country road, I went right off the road and stopped and walked around for about 10 minutes to get me fully awake. It is a very powerful thing. So, yes, channeling Mother Mary, that would make sense. That was done in Delta, but certainly do not drive with the Delta
right.
level soundtrack. You don't want to be channeling that sort of energy at that point.
Right. I can't even drive with the drumming CDs.
Mm.
I cannot drive at all with that. The drumming CDs just take me totally out of body. It's great.
Right. Well, you know, part of the reason...
It's not good when you're operating machinery.
Right. And part of the reason for that is that the ancient history of healing with drums and rhythm was all trance-based. So the repetitive rhythms that are used in many of the drum albums that you're referencing also exert a very strong, it's actually even a stronger effect on brainwaves, but also directly on the heartbeat. So it will, and it has been known for thousands of years, that's why drumming is used around the world as part of so many religious and particularly spiritual technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding now, and I've certainly been in touch with people who study ethnomusicology, that many traditional and indigenous spiritual traditions use the trance-inducing aspect of repeated rhythms as part of their healing. So to drive with drum things like that, I'm not surprised that you got into trance and had a problem driving.
Yeah. Well, they shouldn't. People should not really drive with your music either that we're talking about today. That would not be good.
Most of it, I would probably agree with you on, but a lot of it, if you're familiar with the music, mm-hmm. Something like Chakra Suite or Comfort Zone or Ocean Suite is fine and is very stress-reducing. But even mm-hmm. if you listen to just 5 minutes, it will change your state quicker than you could say Tony Robbins. And,
right.
and there you are. And then when you're back in balance, because one of the things that I also found out early on is that traditional music therapists, when I went to their conference in 1973, told me it's impossible for any music to activate a relaxation response in less than 20 minutes. And I said, excuse me, I have brand new research that says that is old data. Here's the new paradigm. Mm-hmm. Here is the research. And they said, but you're not a dead white European composer. And I said, well, I'm white, I'm not from Europe, and I don't intend to die anytime soon. This is the new right, this is a new paradigm. Mm-hmm. They didn't accept it then, but within 10 years, I was keynoting at national music therapy conferences. And mm-hmm. that's another whole conference. And many of the therapists are now open and use the more recent discoveries in sound healing, but many of them are locked into the old paradigm. And if it's not Mozart or Bach or mm-hmm. one of the old masters, who, by the way, were not composing with the intention of evoking relaxation or supporting healing, they were very often just working out their own sexual neuroses, as you may know, and that gets mm-hmm. encoded and transmitted to the listener. Well, when I'm trying to get into a healing state or a meditative state, I don't want to listen to someone's psychological overlay. And mm-hmm. this would be a great moment to just share with you and our listeners. One of the statements that I basically channeled and put together and started using in 1973 was that music is a carrier wave of consciousness. So it's not mm-hmm. just the notes, but it's the energy that comes through. And that's why you may listen to some music that sounds good, but it doesn't feel good.
Right.
And the more mm-hmm. sensitive you as a listener, as an individual become, you will find that there are some wonderful classical performers that play every note right, but you feel energetically drained and wiped out mm-hmm. afterwards. And there are reasons for that. Dr. John Diamond wrote books on that. It's been my experience, and that's why I am very careful and in integrity when I enter the recording studio, which is my temple of health. It's my temple of sound health,
mm-hmm.
and it's a sacred responsibility that I, as a composer and a recording artist, have to share the best of myself to resonate and support the highest good in the listeners.
One of your albums, Higher Ground, is one that I noticed got people very quickly into the relaxation state. Did you do something different with Higher Ground?
Actually, I didn't do anything different per se, but it's very perceptive that you mentioned that. Also, I will mention that Brian Weiss has been using that album in his live past life therapy events for over 20 years because it gets everybody in the audience into that state right away. What I can tell you is that on the way to the recording studio one day in 1991, I stopped off at my local music store that was on the way in this hour and a half commute to the studio, and they had just gotten a brand new synthesizer in, and my favorite salesman said, you've got to check this out, listen to this sound. And I heard this wonderful sound, and I said, fine, I'll buy it. He says, don't you want to know what else it does? I said, I don't care. That sound just took me out of my body.
Mm-hmm.
So in the box, I took it down to the studio, plugged it in, and that the main themes came through. As we were doing the sound check, we just kept the reel-to-reel, this is what we were using back in the day, we kept the reel spinning, and I recorded that in an automatic altered state where the music just flowed through me, and that's part of the magic that is encoded in that album. And because I was in such a deep meditative state, that is something that the listener resonates to and entrains to. One of the songs there, in fact, is that song that I recorded with the 48 Hours TV crew, and it's called 48 Hours, but basically the rest of the album was done in that one session, and the whole album just basically was done in a couple of hours.
That's incredible.
It's a very, going into that place where the music plays me, where there's no longer a distinction between myself and the music, is a very time-effective and cost-effective way to record. Doesn't always happen quite like that. My last albums took me over a year each, but I've done some of the other things, and some of the key songs on the new albums came through in a flash, and all I had to do was record them, and it's part of what keeps me going back into the recording studio.
Do you have any information about what you're accessing when you're in these states? Do you have any like extraterrestrial help or other plane help that you can identify?
That's an interesting question. I certainly don't usually get a chance to talk about that on radio, et cetera. But I will say that yes, yes, and yes. And by that, I don't see beings. I can feel them. I've been aware of some different energies at different times. And I've had other individuals who do see energetic beings, who do have third sight, where they actually see and get spoken to, who have confirmed that I certainly have had a very strong Pleiadian connection.
That's what I was going to say. Pleiadian.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in fact, since you mentioned that, on the Higher Ground album, there is one song, we don't have time to go into it on this interview, where a channel from the Pleiadians called me up and said, the Pleiadians have a message for you. And I said, well, how do I know you're for real? And they said, they'll send you a photograph through her of where you were when they first contacted you. And they sent me a photograph and I fell off my chair. Because I, at that point, I had not spoken publicly about sitting in the middle of a majestic redwood meditation grove and looking up at the trees, and that's exactly the image that they sent me.
Oh, my goodness.
So I had
that's wonderful.
Right. So that was enough of a confirmation for me to go to the next stage, and we did a little recording. It was... it was an interesting experience, but over the years, I've also worked with Dr. Andrea Puharich, who with many people know that he worked with Uri Geller and an incredible channel named Greta Woodrue, and I had a really extraordinary session with her and her husband and her brother in Connecticut in 1978. And that actually it was the end of the 1977, leading in the recording that happened after that happened in 1978, where I had a chance to interact through the channel and receive a music lesson, as it were. And we were recording it on a little cassette player, which was the technology at the time. And I will share with you that we were told at this point, shut the tape recorder off and, you know, we'll turn it back on later. And I looked at people, the tape recorder was on a coffee table, said, nobody shut it off. They won't know. So I went over to the piano. We had the lesson. Beforehand, the little upright piano was a clunky, out-of-tune instrument. After we got the healing energies and some of the instruction was energetically transmitted, the piano played like a grand piano. It was in tune. The keyboard was easy to play, And I said, well, I could remember everything. I said, could anyone else remember? They said, no. So I said, well, luckily, we recorded it. So we played back the cassette, and right after you hear me say, nobody touched the cassette, it goes blank for 12 minutes.
Yeah.
So something was going on, and I know nobody touched it, so the answer is yes. But I've also I had many people like Doreen Virtue who say, well, of course, you know, my angels have worked with me since the early days, and other high-level spiritual masters that I won't mention by name, but I have always been very blessed and honored to be working with them. And as I begin to identify and know more about who has been assisting me, it just deepens my gratitude, because I know I didn't come up with all this by myself. I knew that from day one.
Well, like you said, when it comes through you, it's a whole different feeling than when you're trying to pull it down.
Right.
When you're trying to pull it, there's an effort. And when it comes through you, it's absolutely effortless.
Right, absolutely. It sounds like you know a lot about that yourself.
Yeah, I don't write music, but I publish books, so I get a chance to bring things in that way.
Right, Shirley MacLaine was on the Today Show today, and I happened to tune in. I got that little psychic, hey, tune on the TV today. And I said, I don't have time. And it was right before she came on, so I stuck around. And she talked about channeling her books right there in a very, you know, matter-of-fact way. And having known Shirley and had dinner with her in 1987, I know that to be true. And she is someone who in our culture has been really pushing the envelope. People would make fun of her, but everything that she's been talking about is true. She has studied so much and interviewed so many scientists. The last time I saw her was in L.A. She was interviewing Zachariah Sitchin, talking about ancient Sumeria and ETs, etc. And so she's been very much into that. And boy, I'm sure there's a whole lot more she can say than that's ever made it into her books. But her books are pretty great. And she has a new one out, and I just ordered it already this afternoon.
Great. Well, I'd love to read that, too. Yeah, Shirley is very brave, because Hollywood is not exactly, at least when she wrote Out on the Limb, Hollywood was not embracing the metaphysical community.
Right. Well, you know, even when you and I met, and still, I met Dr. Herbert Benson in 1997, which was over 20 years after he published his remarkable relaxation response book, and he published a number of other books since then that got very little press. He said, even at that time when we spoke and he told me he's a fan, there were still a lot of people at Harvard who are very upset that he has researched meditation. And I thought he was right, that he was bulletproof, that he was mainstream that Harvard would be so proud of him. And he said, that's not the case at all. That's
true.
Why, right, even he had to be careful what he said, and that's why I can't give you a testimonial as much as I really, you know, appreciate your music, because it would get him in trouble at Harvard. I mean,
that's
who knew?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Who knew? Well,
so I'm sure you've gone through some things like that on your end.
Oh, yeah. You know, I interviewed Dr. Amen one time, and love the saying that he had when he came on. He said, Susan, I've been bleeding on the cutting edge for years.
I met him
so
last week.
Feel free to borrow that saying. It's great.
Right. and he was a maverick. And, of course, now a lot of his brain imaging is being identified. We didn't know that he was a main consultant, apparently, with the NFL football concussion situation.
Well, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I heard him speak in San Francisco last week. I was so impressed. I saw him on the PBS stations. It was okay. In person, he was dynamic and lots of new information. So he said he's taping a new program. I bought a couple books, and I really am intrigued by his whole approach to research and checking things that we can find in the brain.
Yeah, his work's predictive, too. When he was putting in the 7 different types of anxiety and depression, he discovered that especially young adults and teenagers who had the temporal lobes light up, if you gave them SSRI inhibitors, they would be highly likely to commit suicide.
Wow.
You know, it was just incredible to see his research. It was so smart what he figured out to do, and then he categorized things so well based on this functional brain scan.
Right.
And that was probably 10 years ago. I think I interviewed him when Healing Anxiety and Depression came out, that book.
Oh.
And he's had lots of books since then.
Yes.
I'm going to need to get him back on. And I also interviewed Dr. Benson, who is just wonderful.
Wonderful.
He's just a brilliant, brilliant man.
Yes, yes. And now, one of the other things that we're seeing, and one of the great advantages that you have, of course, is that you are an MD. So you can say things, and you can get yourself on programs. For instance, Dr. Oz, I've sent information to Dr. Oz on sound healing and healing music for years. Never get anywhere. I had one of the doctors who I worked with, Dr. Eva Selhub, get me in touch with one of his producers. Nothing doing. But suddenly another MD named Dr. Mitchell Gaynor gets into the field of sound therapy, and he's on, and Dr. Oz says, "What a concept, sound therapy. I've never heard of such a thing."
Oh,
and it's like,
no,
whoa.
Kidding. Whoa.
Right, Dr. Oz, I've been sending you stuff for years. You know, but that's it.
Well, it evidently doesn't get to him.
Exactly. And so I'm sure that's the case. But also, at a media conference where I met the producers a couple years ago of a lot of shows, they said, "Wow, you really know your stuff. We'd love to have you on, except you're a PhD. If you were an MD, we'd have you on tomorrow, but we are not allowed to have PhDs on."
That's crazy.
I said, right, it's crazy. I know
you're
more
a music
about music.
Expert.
Right. I know more about music and healing than any MD because I spent 40
Absolutely.
Years studying this.
Yeah. Well, you created it. Good Lord.
Right. So it was both interesting and frustrating to be reminded of that. But in the meantime, you know, the bottom line is, folks, listen to the samples, whether it's Dr. Gaynor or Dr. Oz or myself, and see how you feel. And your body, your soul will recognize when something is in tune and right for you, and then it's your job to bring it in. You can't rely on Pandora or Spotify to play the music at random. It's really important to support your own well-being and your own sound health by amassing your own library of healing music so that you could have it any time you need. And that's also one of the best ways to vote to support your musicians who are working in sound and healing. Just voting for someone or any kind of musician on American Idol is good, but if you don't buy their music, then it's really it doesn't do as much support to keep those musicians in line and doing what they are here to be doing.
That's right. That's true. Now, you have the term sonic spiritual technology. Would you like to elaborate on what that is?
I'd be delighted. It's part of calling a spade, as it were. Part of my training as an entrepreneur and as a marketing person and as a musician has been to learn and identify and create innovative ways to communicate that reach people in a way that they can understand more easily what it is I do and what it is we're talking about with sound healing. Now, for many years, we couldn't even use the word sound healing, but as I mentioned before, for thousands of years, cultures around the world have used sound and music for healing, and it was a well-known psychotechnology. So what I started doing is saying, okay, this is a sonic technology, and But it's not just a cut and dry black and white technology. It's soulful, it's spiritual, because particularly when you combine healing music with deep alpha and deep theta frequencies, you activate pre-existing, and I believe genetically pre-programmed, responses and syndromes in our nervous system, in our consciousness, that the right music, just like the right drug or chemical, has receptors in the brain. Well, parts of our consciousness are receptive. When we tune, whether it's our pineal gland or whatever part of our body, to a deep alpha or deep theta frequency, it automatically engages what we often call a spiritual experience, because the naming really doesn't matter. The experience, whether what we call it aligning with one's higher self, higher power, meditation, being still, listening to the still small voice, all those, and all the religions, all the spiritual traditions of the world, all basically have a variant of being still and knowing. Know, be still, and know that I am God. It says that in the Bible. It says that in so many other ancient texts. And getting still, getting the mind quiet in deep meditation, well, that's a sacred technology that music and sound can assist us with. So I said, well, let me put this out there and see if it resonates. It's pretty much, I've used it in private, in workshops, but now I'm putting it out into the public, and let me know, folks. Facebook me or tweet me, and or come to my website, and let Dr. Susan know if this makes sense to you, if it intrigues you, and say, what does he mean by that? And then as you listen to the samples, then you'll know what I mean. And on my website, I have the longest and best-sounding samples of my music anywhere on the web, and they're free. So I would recommend anyone, whether you buy it from iTunes, Amazon, or my site, the best samples to really get a chance to listen to the music is at StephenHalpern.com. That's, if I may, that's StevenHalp, like Peter, ERN, like Nancy. And they're all there, and you could listen to the Deep Alpha, which, amazingly, Susan, not only entrained a lot of the people who bought it, but also, I believe, entrained a lot of the members of the Grammy organization who got to vote for it. And it was a wonderful breakthrough just about a year ago when Deep Alpha was announced as one of the nominees for Best New Age Album of the Year.
That's great. Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Wonderful.
It really opened up... I've won a lot of awards from spiritual organizations, but none of them had the gravitas and the resonant field out in the world of PR and media that a Grammy nomination has. So we'll know in a couple of weeks whether I'm a nominee this year, but you know, being recognized last year was really a major step forward in bringing sound healing to a much wider audience. Let me tell you, I had a great speech ready if I won, but I didn't win, so I didn't get a chance to have it. But they would have to pull me off stage. I'll just say that much.
Right.
I would have said some stuff.
Well, do you want to talk a little bit about Deep Alpha opening the heart chakra?
Absolutely. You know, so we were talking, and most of the album of Deep Alpha and Deep Theta feature the electric piano, the special kind of electric piano that I use. It's not a synthesizer, but it's literally like a series of 73 tuning forks, which are one of the main instruments of sound healing. And I'll also point out that one of the differences between sound healing and healing music is that all music is sound, but not all sound is music. And as an individual, I get kind of bored listening to tuning forks after a minute. I will, you know, I enjoy crystal bowls, but a little of them go a long way. But music, I could listen for hours and hours. Well, on the album, the electric piano itself resonates my brain and has resonated people since my first album came out in 1975. But I wanted to add a little something special to the Deep Alpha album. And I found, working back in 1991, I found the piece of music in the middle of an African rhythm album, as a matter of fact, that I was working on with a Nigerian master drummer, that I had played the violin and cello sustained string parts as part of an arrangement featuring heavy drums and strong rhythms. I had forgotten about it, and when we were going back to start to remix the album years later, what we do in the studio is you isolate each track, and I heard that track, and it stopped me in my tracks. And I said, wow, I'm hearing a whole other composition without drums. And I've been working on that every couple of years for the last number of years. Well, a couple of years ago, I finally got Paul McCandless into the studio. He and I have been wanting to record. I first invited him over 15 years ago. We finally got into the studio. And then when I got my new electric piano, I added that instrument to his instrument, the beautiful oboe, and the combination just took the string ensemble, the electric piano, and oboe with Michael Manring on fretless electric bass into a place that all the other musicians, even though they came into the studio after I had done my part, all commented also that they felt the music in their heart chakra. Over the years, I've had people say, this is the best music to listen to when you're meditating with your lover. If you're just sitting and breathing and looking into each other's eyes, the music is like audio ecstasy. It just opens up the heart chakra. And for folks who are listening to this broadcast, you don't have to be limited to that, but there is a strong resonance that wasn't, I didn't set out to play something to open the heart chakra, but the music that came through did, and then through feedback from other people and my own experience, I say, this is definitely, if you have to, if you're only going to buy one track from Deep Alpha, track number one, song number one, would be the one to buy, and just listen to that with someone you love and watch what happens. And if you meditate on your own, it just opens up your own energy field to universal love. And really important on, you know, we're recording this right after 11/11, so as we move into the holidays, putting out that vibration into the world is so important to counteract so much of the stress and suffering that's going on now, and especially what's going on in the Philippines with the aftermath of the super typhoon. We need, when we get into relaxed and healing states ourselves, our brainwave shifts, Susan, and we literally radiate and transmit those healing frequencies back onto the planet. And I know that our planet wants and needs all the love and help it can get at this point.
Now, which did you record first, Deep Theta or Deep Alpha?
Interesting. I recorded Deep Theta first. I had actually begun in 2008 with a couple tracks from Deep Alpha because I had already the brainwave sonic entrainment tracks ready. And then I said, well, how does this differ from Theta? And then I got so turned on to working in the Theta range that was the album I finished first. And then I said, well, I started the Deep Alpha. I need to put that out as well. And then I put that one out. And then this last year added the traditional Asian instrument that's used in meditation, the shakuhachi flute in Japan and the bansuri flute in India. Both are bamboo flutes. And did two soundtracks in Deep Theta and Deep Alpha with the bamboo flute as the main instrument and my keyboards as supplemental. And it's been very interesting, just as these have begun to filter out into the world. Many people love the sound of the flute, And I've found a few people have said, you know, I like Native American flute, but I don't like this flute. And I at first I was really surprised by that. And then I said, well, what if in our understanding of past lives, they had a rough past life in Japan or China, then any sound that sounded like that would trigger maybe not so right healing a response in them.
Yeah.
But
you know, it could lead to healing, though, because if something triggers something in you, even though it's temporarily uncomfortable,
yes,
when it leaves your body, then your vibrational rate raises, and so it's overall very good for you.
I'm happy you said that. Absolutely, I know that to be true. It's hard to tell people to go to the next stage and hang out with that for a while, but anyone that I do work with in workshop or in my lectures, I do always mention that. It's not just what you think. That becomes simplistic. There are very often deeper levels of why something affects you as it does. And with the breakthroughs in mainstream media that Brian Weiss has recently experienced, being on the Oprah show and taking Katie Couric into past life. And I checked on the website after the show, and it was like, who was Katie in a past life? Susan, if you had told me 10 years ago that Katie Couric would ever be in the same sentence as past life, I would have said, what are you smoking?
You wouldn't believe it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's opening up.
Yeah, she interviewed me on the Today Show years ago. Yeah,
wow.
I was on the Today Show in 2006 when they brought silicone back on the market.
Yes.
And I was debating a doctor from Johns Hopkins who had said he'd done 50 explantation. Of course, at that time I'd done about 2,000. So
oh my gosh.
I had a little bit up on him on that one. But it was funny, yeah. But Katie was very, very good interviewer. She really was.
Excellent.
Yeah. Now, there is, you know, this energy coming in from the galactic center. I'm sure you're aware of this. And
yes.
This energy coming in is going to have a great effect on our chakra systems. Is there any advice that you can give us using music to help with the coming shifts that are going to occur? Because this energy is going to affect us in a whole different way than probably we've ever experienced.
Oh, that's a great question. And I do have a response to that. And that is, from everything I've seen, and that includes the conflicting stories that our planet's resonance is changing, and certainly the Schumann resonance is changing.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, if our bodies and our chakras are designed to work in harmony with each other. And one of the ways that people can get their chakras aligned and working together is working with the breath, with visualization, and certainly with sound and color. That's the reason my first album came out focusing on balancing and aligning the chakras. It's now, that album is now called Chakra Suite. And when your chakras are in tune, the energy flow, and this was not Dr. Benson's work, but Dr. Itzhak Bentov's work, who was also in Boston in the same area. He was one of my personal mentors, and we used some of his scientific measurement devices when I was researching chakras and healing with music.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some insights and secrets and experiences that no one else has, and what he, being very highly attuned as he was, it says, when your chakras are aligned, the energy coming out of your heart and the blood that is pumped into the brain is no longer random, but sets up a standing wave that then gently pulsates your brain, and through a piezoelectric effect then sets up the associated electromagnetic field around the head that will get you in touch with the dominant fields of the earth. So whatever is changing, if your chakras are aligned, you will be in the best possible condition to stay in tune with the world, to stay in tune with your own highest health, and So whatever people do to tune and balance your chakras. In fact, after my dinner with Shirley MacLaine back in 87 when her book came out, she was asked, if there's only one exercise that you had, Shirley, what would you do? And sometimes she would say, well, as Stephen Halpern recommends, and other times she would just thank me for pointing that. She said, if I have only one thing to do, I would balance my chakras with sound and color. And that's in her books, and it's been some of those interviews. And I always smiled when she said that, because when she was picking my brain and asking me about that, I shared a lot of information with her, and I know she helped use that and expand the outreach into the many millions that she has been able to open up and inspire over the years.
Well, we've been told in session, and let me, and this is just to emphasize how important what you just said is. We've been told in session that when this energy comes in, if your chakras are aligned and in balance, that you will have greater health, your wrinkles will start to disappear, your aging will start to disappear. We've actually been told that you'll,
wow,
you know, you'll look younger, you'll get healthier, and you'll become more clairvoyant, clairaudient, and clairsentient. However, if your chakras are not in balance when this energy hits, it will start to disintegrate your emotional, mental, and physical bodies.
Wow.
That is how important it is to have balanced chakras.
And I get a strong chill of confirmation, that old goose flesh response, as we say. Where can I go to find out more about that? What you say in session?
We're recording now. We do these sessions weekly, and we've been doing them weekly since 1990, so it's a long time. And I think we're going to be putting this information out.
Fantastic.
I think we just need to simply, you know, get the recordings and put them out for people to, you know, for people to listen to.
I think so. Well,
you know,
keep me posted.
I will. Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour, Stephen.
Yes.
It's been absolutely delightful. Would you like to give your contact information one more time?
I would love to. So my website is stephenhalpern.com. That's StevenHalpern.com. Also, you can find me at innerpeacemusic.com. And my Facebook page is facebook.com/StephenHalpern fan page. That's the one that I am able to interact with most. And I like that a whole lot better than tweeting, because I don't like being limited to 140 characters.
Right.
But I usually dictate a tweet every day or two, and my assistant helps me post that. So there are different ways to get through to me. But the best way to read my articles and find out what's really going on is at my website, and easy to find. And I'm more than open to answering questions that may come up for you, or feedback, or hear your experiences. In care of Facebook, in care of my webpage, and I put that invitation out to all who are listening to this really remarkable interview. I want to salute you. You asked some questions, Susan, that have never been asked before, and it really opened up some fascinating spaces. So thank you for being you,
and for doing what
you do out in the world. You are really extraordinary.
Well, thank you so much. And please go ahead and get his Deep Theta and his Deep Alpha and start working on your chakras. Get his chakra suite, and all the other technologies that Stephen has put out are really remarkable technologies. And get your chakras in alignment for this energy coming in, because this is important now. We need to pay attention and really start working on our spiritual alignments.
Amen.
Well, thanks so much, Stephen. This is Dr. Susan Kolb. I have had a wonderful interview with Stephen Halpern, and talking about the importance of vibrational technologies in how music and sound, sonic spiritual technology can help you through the ascension. And hope to have you back on sometime, Stephen. And we really appreciate you spending some time with us.
Well, thank you, Susan. It's been a delight. Bye for now.
Bye for now. This is Dr. Susan Cobb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.